will see God's glory. We will see His glory. We will not give up. We will not give up. We will see His glory. We will believe. For He has said it and He will do it. He has said He will do it. Don't be afraid. Don't get worried. Just pretend you are mad. Pretend you are a fool. Pretend you don't think. I can't think far. Pretend you can't think far. You can't think madness. Pretend I can't think far. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just marching around Jericho because God has said it. And I know in due time, if I don't give up, I will achieve. How can you say you are sleeping somebody in the same room? You are not married on the same bed. And you tell me nothing happened. You are a joker. Both the lady and the guy, they are jokers. They don't know what they are talking about. If he's a pastor, he's a joker. Sexual sin is never an accident. Something is about to happen. A change is coming. It is settled in the spirit. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. He hasn't entered the heart of man. What God has prepared for those who love Him.
Begin to pray in the spirit for some few minutes. Prepare your heart for the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this time that you have allowed us to come into your presence. We pray that even as your word is coming, it will help us to open our hearts to receive your word. Let your word change us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We thank God for today. Today I want to do some teaching. I want to start a series. And the way we're going to go about it, you may not see that it's a series, but I want to let you know that it's a series so that you can piece them together. Today I'm talking about three offices every believer occupies. Three offices that God wants every believer to occupy. And I'm going to start today by giving you a background of these three offices. And maybe I'll continue from next week, delving deeper into these three offices. So I'm talking about the office of the priest, the office of the king, and the office of the prophet. Threefold offices that are together the custodians of dominion. When you put these three things together, then you are talking about dominion. So when God placed Adam in a position of dominion, God was in effect telling Adam that you're supposed to play the role of a priest, a prophet, and a king. And these three offices or these three roles must be fulfilled in the life of the church. God has made provision for the church to become a priest, a king, and a prophet. For every individual believer to also fulfill the role of a priest, a king, and a prophet. Now, in the Old Testament, there were only three groups of people who were anointed. In the Old Testament, the anointing oil didn't touch anybody apart from these three. either the priest or the prophet and the king. As a matter of fact, it was the prophet who anointed the priest and the king. In the Old Testament, this was the people that were anointed. Now, when I say priest, prophet, and king, I'm talking about the priest. What they did was they ministered to God on behalf of the people. They ministered to God on behalf of the people. So the priest went before God on behalf of the general assembly. Now, the prophets ministered to the people on behalf of God. So it was like the priest and the prophet were opposites. One was the priest was ministering to God on behalf of the people, but the prophet was ministering to the people on behalf of the priest. And the king was also ruling and judging the people on behalf of God. He was taking territories for God, leading the people to take territories, to fight and take territories for God. All these three offices, they constitute dominion. When God said he had given the people of Israel dominion, he was saying that I've given you these three offices because these three are the organs of or custodians of dominion. And I will let you know how these three offices came into existence and the background behind these three offices. You will get to know that it is very crucial to God, and God has never abandoned the idea that all his people should be priests, should be kings, and should be prophets. Now, God has always wanted to achieve alignment between heaven and earth. And right from the beginning, he has always wanted somebody to be in charge of the earth whilst he is in charge of heaven. Right from the very beginning, God's idea was for somebody to be in charge of the earth and then he also in charge of heaven. So God's idea was to get somebody on earth who will act as a priest, a prophet, and a king. Then he, God, will act as a king. So Adam in the Garden of Eden was playing these three roles, as we are going to see. But even before Adam came, there was something that was in place which the Bible alludes to. Now, the principle we are going to adopt in this study is that what the Bible reveals partially, we'll touch on it partially. What the Bible reveals fully, we'll touch on it fully. But we are going to connect certain dots and make a story from the facts that the Bible has given us. So I want you to put on your theological caps, because where we are going is a bit deep. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Job 38 verse 7. Let me establish the first point, that God, before God created Adam, God had already created the angels. In fact, before God created the heavens and the earth, God had already created the angels. In Job 38 verse 7, God was answering Job out of the storm, out of the whirlwind. You know, God can sometimes answer you out of the storm. And he was asking Job a lot of questions. Then he came to verse 6. He said, to what were its foundations fastened? Meaning the earth. He was talking about who laid the foundation of the earth. When I was laying the foundation of the earth, where were you? From the verse 4. Then the verse 6. To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, the phrase sons of God is referring to the angels. That when God laid the foundation of the earth, the angels shouted for joy. Which means that God created the angel or the angelic beings before he created man. When man came on the scene, angels were already on the scene. When God created the heavens and the earth, angels had already been created. Now, God, we can see from the Bible that God created this angel called Lucifer, who was an exceptionally beautiful and wise angel. Matter of fact, Lucifer was like an archangel. Archangel, you know, archangel is an angel that is above the ordinary angel. Like we have archbishop, is a bishop over bishop. So archangel was an angel over several angels. But that did not mean that the angels worship them. Angels don't worship one another. Angels worship God directly. So though Lucifer was an archangel, he did not deserve any worship from the creation of God. Now, the first time we hear of Lucifer in the Bible is in Ezekiel 28. And remember, I'm talking to you about these three offices, that Lucifer occupied these three offices before man even came. These three offices, you see, when you were a priest, you stand before God on behalf of the people. When you stand before God, you hear something from God. Now, when you stand in his council and you hear something from him, you go and proclaim it to the people as a prophet. Then you use what he has said to also wage warfare and establish his kingdom and extend his influence as a king. So, Ezekiel 28 from verse 11, and I want you to follow me carefully so that you will not lose me or I will not lose you. From verse 11, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God." Now, when you start from the verse 1, let me show you the verse 1. The verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to me again saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, Thus says the Lord God." Now, this one is the prince of Tyre. But the verse 11 says the king of Tyre. The prince of Tyre was an earthly ruler who was ruling a place called Tyre. Tyre was a physical place that had a ruler. But when God was releasing judgment on the physical ruler, physical king, God took a swipe, or he landed on the spirit that was controlling the physical ruler. Because from the verse 11 to 13, all the things that were said there, they do not fit a human being. So obviously, from 11 to 13, God was not talking about a human being, but talking about the spirit that was controlling the human being. Let's look at the verse 1 and 2. "The Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, Thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a God, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seat or the seas. Yet you are a man and not a God, though you set your heart as the heart of a God." So here he's talking to a man, not a spirit, a man. So from the verse 1 to the verse 10, he was talking about a man who was the prince of Tyre. But from the verse 11, he says, "Moreover, when the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him," listen to what God is saying, "Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now, that cannot be a man, because no man is a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Then he said, "You were in Eden, the garden of God," referring to the king of Tyre. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold." These are the clothes of the king of Tyre. His attire, how he was covered, he was dressed, like referring to Lucifer, the spirit, who was behind that king of Tyre. God was describing him, how he was beautiful. All these minerals, when you go to Revelation, you will see that they were at the foundation of the wall of the city of New Jerusalem, the walls, the minerals that were used were these minerals were there. Then when you check the breastplate of the high priest, you see all these minerals also, some of them were there, which means that God was talking about somebody who was very close to God. Now, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created, which means that he had a full orchestra, pipes and musical instruments in him, that he didn't need any external help. If he wanted to initiate music in heaven or on earth, wherever he was, he didn't need any external help. Everything was in him. Okay, let's continue. Verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. So now you see clearly that it's not a man that he's talking about, because no man is a cherub. Cherubim are a class of angels, a higher class of angels, warrior angels, those who war on behalf of God. When you see them, they are terrible looking, very, very terrible. And he said you were the anointed cherub, an angel who was also anointed. That's why we believe that he was an archangel. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Verse 16. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stone. So the being that he's describing here was not just a cherub. He was an anointed cherub. Number two, he was a covering cherub. Somebody who was responsible for covering the throne of God, the glory of God. So he was a being that was very powerful. Verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Verse 18. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst, and it devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. He said, you defiled your sanctuary, which means that this being who was the anointed cherub and the cherub that covered also had a sanctuary, which means he was a priest. The sanctuary is talking about a place of worship where priests minister. So he had a sanctuary, which means that he was a priest. Now, this one was referring to Lucifer, who God placed in charge of the first earth that God created. God placed him in charge to be the ruler over the earth. You see, God was ruling in heaven, and God wanted a being to also oversee the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, the original creation, he placed this being on earth as somebody who was ruling. But it doesn't mean that he was confined to the earth, because the sanctuary he was talking about was in the heavens, second heavens, as we go along, we will see. So it was like this. The picture is like this. A being who is on earth here, and he can stand before God. Bible calls him Lucifer, which means light bearer. He could stand before God in his very throne room. He was a light bearer, you know, and he could also come and take worship from the beings that God created. And there were beings that God created that were on this earth before Adam came. We'll see. But there were no human beings, because Adam was the first man. Now come to Isaiah 14. We are just gleaning from the little information that scripture gives us. Isaiah 14 from verse 12. This is also the first time we hear the name Lucifer. In fact, the first time we hear the name Lucifer in the Bible is Isaiah 14. You know, it says, how you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Son of the morning means the light bearer, the son of the morning, the one who clothed himself with the morning. It's like when he appears, he's light. That was how Lucifer was. Oh, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the earth, you who weaken the nation, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now listen, he said he will ascend into heaven. Which means that Lucifer is talking about here, he was on earth. Because if he was in heaven, he wouldn't say I was sent. He said he will ascend into heaven, which means that he was on earth. Not on earth as in confined to the earth, but the earth was his territory. So he said, I will ascend to the heaven. I'm not satisfied with the earth as my territory. I want to go to heaven. Let's continue. Then he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, if the person talks about a throne, it means he's a king. So Lucifer, we have seen that he was a priest. He had a sanctuary and he was a king. He had a throne. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God is the angels. Bible refers to the angels as the stars of God. Then he said, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. This is where God sits. According to Psalm 48 verse 2, Bible says God sits on the mount on the sides of the north. So Lucifer said that I'm going to also exalt my throne above the angels, and I will go and sit where God himself sits. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, that is hell, to the lowest depth of the pit. Now, let's look at something. He said, I will ascend to heaven. Then he said, I will be like the Most High. Now, God has many titles apart from Most High. God is Elohim, the creator. God is the El Gibor. God is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. God is Rafika, our healer. Nisi, our banner. Shalom, our peace. Shama, who is present. Why didn't Lucifer envy any of these titles but El Elyon? El Elyon means God Most High. Now, let's look at the meaning of El Elyon. Come to Genesis 14. Follow me carefully, because this one, if you miss me small, you will miss me big time. Genesis 14, verse 22. Verse 22. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, come to verse 19. And he blessed him and blessed and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. So the meaning of Most High or El Elyon is somebody who possesses both heaven and earth. So Lucifer said, I will also be like the Most High, meaning that I will also now possess heaven and earth, which means I am not satisfied with the earth being my only place of rulership. I want to conquer heaven as well. That is why he said, I will also be like the Most High. So that was what he did. That is why he went from earth to heaven, ascending to heaven, just to go and overthrow God so that he will be in charge. He was not satisfied with just being in charge of the earth. I want to conquer the whole heaven. Like a regional minister who says, I don't want to be a regional minister. I want to be the president. So I'm going to stage a coup d'etat. So the first coup d'etat was staged by Lucifer. So all those who staged coup d'etats, they are descendants of Lucifer. They are children of the devil. All those who staged coup d'etat and usurp authority, they belong to the devil's line. He was the first one who did that. Now, the first judgment of God against Lucifer was that he was cast down. Why was he cast down? Because he was ascending. He was ascending and he was cast down. Remember, we have established that he was a minister at the sanctuary. As we go along, you will see that the sanctuary was the very place Jesus Christ came, went, and sprinkled his blood, because they were defiled. We will see that in the Bible, that the sanctuaries were actually defiled. After Lucifer's rebellion, they were defiled and they needed to be cleansed. And so Jesus Christ came and died and went to the sanctuary, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat there once and for all, and obtained eternal redemption. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just show you why I say they were defiled, so that when we get there, I'll just mention it. Come to Hebrews. Hebrews. Today, what we are talking about is solid food. This one is not milk, it's solid food. So you need to be ready. No stoning yet. Hebrews chapter 8. Okay, yeah. Let's read the verse 1. It says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not man. So now he's telling us that there's a true tabernacle, right? There's a true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Now, come to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with this. You see, he said the copies of the things in the heavens. Talking about the tabernacle on earth was a copy of the tabernacle that was in heaven. And he said the copy was purified with things like animal blood. But look at what they were used to purify the one in heaven. He said, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifice than this. So the heavenly things themselves too were purified, but with a better sacrifice, with the blood of Jesus. Why did they need to be purified if they were in heaven? That means that it wasn't talking about the heaven where God lives. Talking about the heavens, the second heavens, where God lives, nothing can be defiled. The rebellion of Lucifer didn't take place in the third heaven where God lives. It was, Bible says there was war in heaven. War cannot be in where God lives. Where God lives is in total control. But the second heavens where the sanctuary was, that was the place that was defiled. And so Lucifer, when he's saying, Bible says you defiled your sanctuary. That was where he ministered as priest to God on behalf of the creation of God. And they were creation, they were animals and other creatures that God had created. In fact, science and archaeologists have discovered that there were certain beings that were in existence that we know nothing about. But as we go along, we understand. So Lucifer attempted to ascend and he was cast down. And according to Jesus in Luke 10:19, the whole casting down lasted within seconds. He said, I saw Satan cast down from heaven as lightning. The way lightning will like that. That means that the rebellion was stopped by God within some few seconds. He was cast down back to the earth. When he was cast down, his territory, which was the earth, was also judged. So God brought judgment to Lucifer. There are five judgments that God brought to Lucifer. Five judgments. I'm not talking about that. But the first judgment was that he was cast down. He lost his place. Number two, his territory was also judged. What was his territory? The territory of the devil of Lucifer at that time was the earth. So the original creation that God created, heavens and the earth, heavens meaning the atmospheric heavens and the earth, God released judgment on the earth. That was Lucifer's territory. And the earth came into a state of chaos and confusion. And what God did to destroy the first world, which was the heavens and the earth, that Lucifer was in charge, was water. Come to 2 Peter 3, 5 to 7. 2 Peter 3, 5 to 7. I know as you go along, you will drop your stones. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water, by which the world that then existed, perished, being flooded with water. Now, listen. He says, the earth that then existed, the world that then existed, perished, because he used water to destroy. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What he's saying is that the first world that God created in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That original creation, God put in charge of Lucifer, and God destroyed it with water. That was not referring to Noah's time. Noah's time, God destroyed flesh. Anything that had the breath of life in his nostril was destroyed by the flood. The Bible never said, and God destroyed the earth with a flood in Noah's time. When you go, you can read Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, 17, and 21. God repeatedly said, I'm going to destroy all flesh, all flesh, all flesh, not the earth. In fact, all flesh, but the fish were not destroyed. The fish were not destroyed by the flood. It's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17, 21. The fish, he named all the animals that were destroyed. He didn't mention the fish. Because you can't destroy fish with water. Because when you bring water, the fish, it will swim. You can't destroy it. So the original creation was destroyed with water. That was what God used. That is how can we guard the sea? Because the sea was not part of God's original intent. I'm going to prove that to you. The sea came as a result of judgment on Lucifer's territory. So in the next heaven and the new earth, God is going to do away with the sea. Come to Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Why was there no more sea? Because the sea actually was not God's plan. If you want to know God's original plan, check Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and then jump to Revelation chapter 21, 22. That four chapters will tell you the complete picture of God's original plan. Anything in between was temporary. Was God's attempt to restore the creation back to its original state. So, Lucifer was destroyed. I mean, his territory was destroyed by the sea, by water. And so, when you read the Bible, you come to a point where the Bible says, and the earth was without form. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. We shall come to that very soon. But let me first of all establish this, that the sea was not God's original plan. Now, there are four classes of animals or living beings who are before God. They are before God day and night. We call them the four living creatures. Okay, just follow me. The four living creatures, one of them had the face of a man. Right? Revelation chapter 4 from verse 7 going. One of them too had the face of an ox. Okay? Then one had the face of a cow. One had the face of, an ox. One had the face of a lion. One had the face of an eagle. So we had four creatures like man. Then we had the lion. We had the ox, which is a cow. Then we had the eagle. These four creatures, when God was giving Adam dominion, he gave Adam dominion over six classes of creatures, not four. Over six, because the fish of the sea was given to Adam and the creeping things were given to Adam. But the fish of the sea and the creeping things, they are not represented before God. The four living creatures, they represent the creation of God. Four living creatures, creation of God. Man is part of the creation, right? The lion represents the creation of the wild beast, the wild animals. Then the ox represents the domestic animals. Then the eagle represents all that fly in the world, in the air. But two are missing. We don't see the serpent, who is the head of the creeping things. And we don't see the fish represented before God. I'm using that to tell you that the fish and the sea, they were not part of God's original plan, because God is going to do away with the sea. So we cannot say four living creatures and add the fish, because the sea will not go to the next realm. Hallelujah. So God's judgment fell on the creatures that existed. And there were creatures on this earth who existed. Let me tell you something. Demons are not angels. The angels who fell with Lucifer, they are still angels. Those are the ones who are in charge of rivers and places. Like Ghana has a strong man, principality. He's an angel. He's not a demon. Angels don't live in people. Demons were creatures that were dead before Adam, who rebelled with Lucifer, and God destroyed all of them. They were on earth, and they became disembodied spirits, disembodied. They don't have bodies. So now they live in human beings. They live in human beings. They are disembodied. That is where demons came from. So there's a difference between demons and fallen angels. The principalities are fallen angels, but the demons were beings that were on earth before, that when Lucifer was ruling over, and they were also judged, and they became disembodied. Some of them became blind and mute. So why would we say Jesus Christ cast out a mute spirit, a blind spirit? These are all disembodied spirits who suffered judgment under Lucifer's territory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I'm telling you, we are going somewhere. Now, so let's now go to Genesis chapter 1. I warn you, I said put on your theological caps, because where I'm going, and this one is the foundation, because we need to understand certain things. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let's end there. This one says, in the beginning. What was the beginning? It said, the beginning was when God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm going to show you that this one was talking about when God originally created heaven and earth, heavens and earth, not heaven. Heaven where God lives was not created. It's eternal. Heaven was not created. God created the heavens and the earth. These heavens, the skies and this earth. And that was what Lucifer was. What was entrusted to Lucifer's hand for him to be a ruler over. Now look at the very next verse. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now listen, in between verse 1 and 2, something happened. If God created the heavens and the earth, God will not create an earth that is without form. Three things that describe the earth that is very unlike God. He said, and the earth was without form. Without form means it was orderless. Scripture cannot be broken. God will not create something that is orderly, because he said, let everything be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:14. So it cannot be that God created the earth, because see, the principle of creation is that everything produces after his kind. So if God is not disorderly, why should God create an earth that is disorderly? Which means something happened. The original earth was not disorderly, but something happened for the earth to enter into that condition. So number two, he said, and the earth was void. God did not create the earth void. Come to Isaiah 45 verse 18. This one is direct scripture. So scripture against scripture. Isaiah 45 verse 18. It says, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be habited. He did not create it in vain. Other verses says he did not create it void. So how can Genesis 1 verse 2 say that, and the earth was void, and this one is saying God did not create the earth in vain or void? Which means that something happened after God's original creation. What happened was that Lucifer's territory was judged, and the earth entered into that condition of chaos, disorderliness, and darkness. Number three, he said, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was dark. Bible says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. So how did God create an earth that was full of darkness? This supposes that something took place between Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and 1, verse 2. In between those two verses might have been millions of years. We don't know. We don't know how many years Lucifer was in charge of the earth, number one. Number two, when his territory was judged, we don't know how many years it lasted before God proceeded to reform the earth. So in Genesis chapter 1, all that took place was a reformation, not a creation. For the 6 days, all that God was doing was reorganizing things, reforming things, not creating new things. In fact, the first creation was on the sixth day when he created man. Man never existed. Adam was the first man, according to 1 Corinthians 15:45. Adam was the first man to be created. So there was no man before Adam, but they were creation. And Lucifer's territory was judged. Hallelujah. When you go, you can read Jeremiah 4, verse 23-26. It was describing the condition of the earth when Lucifer's territory was judged. And he said that there was no man. There was no man. And when he says there was no man, then it means that it was before Adam, because Adam was the first man. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, what it says, and the earth was void, and the earth was without form. That word was, listen, that word was is the Hebrew word haya. And I conducted a research in Dick's reference Bible. And that word haya has been translated become 67 times in the Old Testament. So the correct translation should have been, and the earth became without form and void. Because the haya also means become, to become. Because what happened was, the earth was perfect, but it became without form. Why? Because God used the water to judge Lucifer's territory. Hallelujah. So, then, we don't know how long it took. Then God decided, let me put this thing in shape again. Because I need the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Even though Lucifer was the ruler in charge, it's still mine. I need the earth. Let me put this thing in shape. So God proceeded to reform, reorganize. Look at what he did. He said, when he came, he said, he separated the waters that were below from the one that was above, and did this. Then the waters somewhere in the heavens, somewhere on earth. Then those on earth, he separated the waters from the land, and the water became the sea. The waters, where did the water come from? God used the water to judge the earth. But he said, he was separating, reforming, reorganizing. And the sea, the dry land appeared. I don't know whether you've read it. It looks like you have not read it. Okay, let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament, that is a heavens, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Everything was confused, you know, like this one had come down, everything. So let's divide the waters from the waters, and he brought the atmosphere. Okay, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the water which were above. You see the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning was the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and called the gathering together of the waters he called sea. That is how the sea came. It came as a result of God's judgment. Now, after doing all these things, when God was doing all these things, Lucifer was somewhere. We don't know where he was, but he had been cast down already. So he was hiding somewhere. Maybe in Sheol. According to Isaiah 40, he said he was in Sheol. Now, Lucifer, then God put on the light and saw all this chaos. And the Holy Ghost came, the Spirit of God came, and he was hovering over all this chaos. And God used the word and the Spirit, and then the light came, that he began to reform. You see, you look at the words he uses: divide, separate. Those are things words we use for things that are already in existence. The divide, separated, you know, group. These are the words that were, so for the 6 days, God was simply restoring the earth back to the original earth. Then God made an announcement. The announcement might have shaken Lucifer. He said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the earth and over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing and everything that creeps upon the surface of the earth." The Lucifer was like, wow, God is appointing another manager. The first management has been dissolved. Now God says, I'm appointing another manager. Let us make man. And man was never in existence. So Lucifer didn't know what God was saying, because man was never there. Adam was the first man. And this time God said, let us make somebody in our own image. The angels were not made in the image of God. But God said, I'm making a being, and this being I'm making in my image, after my likeness, so that I will put myself in him and he can rule with my mind and my wisdom, so that I can be in heaven and he will be in charge of earth. That was how Adam came about. So now Lucifer, who was before then the priest and the king and also a prophet, now God was going to make another being who will be in charge of Lucifer's territory. That is why Satan has always looked at this earth as his own. Because originally he was in charge, but God, you know, overthrew him and gave it to Adam. So Adam was created on the sixth day. He was created. When Adam was created, Adam came out of God. Bible says God created a being in his own image, that is in his spirit nature and moral character. So Adam resembled God as a spirit man. The spirit man was created, and he was the one that was given dominion over the earth. But God wanted to shut out Lucifer completely. So he said, let them have, which means that if you are not a man, then you cannot have dominion. That shut him out completely. Because it's your territory, but now you have been shut out, because now it's only people who are men who must have dominion. You're not a man. You don't have any body, physical body. So you cannot be effective on this earth. That was what pained him. That is why he had to go and borrow the serpent's body and say, please give me your body so that I can have a voice. I can have a say. Because God is saying that if you don't have the way God has reformed the earth now, now people without spirit, beings without bodies cannot function. I will prove to you that God planted Eden, but Eden was there before Adam came. Didn't we read in Ezekiel 28 where he said, you were in Eden, the garden of God? That was the original Eden. That Eden was a place of mineral beauty. But the Eden that God planted after Adam was a place of vegetal beauty, vegetation, where we had the vegetation, the trees, the fruits, and all that. But the first Eden, he said, every precious stone was your covering. And it was a place of beauty, all right, like this one. But now God had made something such a way that now, if you are not physical, you cannot really have dominion. Because the earth is now physical. And the assignment that God gave Adam was a physical one. He said, tend the garden and keep it. That is why God made a body for man, to make sure that man had a connection to the earth. And the body was formed from the dust of the earth, to make sure there was a connection between man and the earth, because man must exercise dominion over the earth. So your body itself gives you authority. Your body, apart from everything, your body itself gives you authority. The fact that you are a human being, your body is a badge of authority. That is why demons are illegal on earth. They don't have bodies. That's why they are always desperate to enter into bodies. Bible says, when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, he goes through dry places. You know dry places? Dry places are the atmospheric heavens. There's no sea. Dry places. Then when he doesn't find rest, he comes back to this earth and he says, let me go back to my house. They are always desperate to enter a body. Why? Because without a body, they are ineffective. They can't exercise dominion without a body. So they begged Jesus. They said, please, don't cast us out of this place. Let us enter the pigs. We will make do with the body of a pig, even though we would have wanted a human being, but a pig is also a body. So let's enter the pig. You know where they went to when they entered the pig? Straight to the sea. They were going home. So they drove the pigs into the sea and then they went home. Because that is where the sea, we have all sorts of spirits in the sea. All these Mamuwatai, all these creatures, they are real. Because they were there when Lucifer was ruling the earth. But now they are disembodied. Now they don't have bodies. So they operate. So they always have to operate with human beings on earth here. Hallelujah. So God created man and gave man these three offices. That was originally for Lucifer, was given to Adam. For Adam to become a priest, a king, and a prophet. So God's plan was for Adam, and Eden was a place. Eden, the word Eden means home. In fact, the word Eden, the original root word, means order. And the transliteration and the derivative is home. So God created an environment for Adam to become priest and prophet. Adam was the second manager. Unfortunately, second manager also failed. Why? Because the first manager, who had been sacked, came back to the office and told the second manager that, look, I was here before you came. This boss, that's how he is. Look, you will be sitting here and you will sit here and then you will grow and grow beard and you will still sit here. This boss, that's not here. If you don't rebel and be on your own, you will sit here till you die. That is a typical rebellious manager, ex-manager. Then Adam bought into his lie. Haven't you heard it? When somebody is starting from a job, then he comes to you, those who are there, and say, you think everything is easy. Look, you don't know. This man, look. You poor must step out. He is convincing them to. Anybody who does that is operating in the anointing of Lucifer. So Adam bought into his lie. And said, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So Adam also stepped out that I also want to be a boss. And you see, even though God restored Adam, you know God restored Adam. God killed an animal and used a coat to cover Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve were forgiven and restored in the garden. Even though God restored Adam, God drove them out of the garden. Even after restoration, he drove them out of the garden. Why? Because you can only be a priest, prophet, king in the environment I have created. Eden, the garden was not the whole earth. The garden was in the eastern part of Eden. And you see, God has an attraction for the east. Everything that God does, he starts from the east. The sun rises from the east. That's why when you read Ezekiel 47, the water that was coming from the tabernacle was from the east of the eastern threshold of the temple. East. Okay. So now Adam also fell. And he also disobeyed God. So he lost his place as a priest, as a king, and as a prophet. So that's how come we got these offices. But God was still in need of these offices. So what God did was that God staged a comeback. And the comeback he staged was a preparation for him to come back legally. But he staged a temporary measure by entering into covenant with people. That is how, that is why covenants came into being. Adam was in a relationship, not a covenant. But because Adam had failed God, now God, if God wants to enjoy man's cooperation, then God must restore to covenant. So Noah, covenant. Abraham, covenant. Why covenant? Because I am illegal on this earth. Just as Lucifer is illegal. Because when I said man should have dominion, I'm not man, so I also don't have dominion. You see, God lives by his word. Bible says he has exalted his word above all his name. So he submitted to the word, which said, if you are not a man, you cannot exercise dominion. So God too was illegal on this earth. So he needed man. So he entered the covenant with Abraham and he said, by reason of your covenant, then I too can present my terms. And through that, he got the people of Israel and said, now I really want to establish and affirm this desire of mine. I want all of you to be priests and kings. All of you, the whole nation. I want the whole nation to be priests and kings and prophets. Come to Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Okay, from verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wing, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which shall speak to the children of Israel. So he said, you shall be to me what? A kingdom of priests. That is a royal priesthood. A holy nation. That was God's idea. God has always wanted to get people on earth to fulfill these three roles. So he said the whole nation should be priests. His main desire was that all of them will be priests and kings. Then prophets. You see, when the priestly and the kingly come together, you get a prophetic. So in Psalm 105, Psalm 105, verse 12 to 15. Look at what God said, how he described them. Psalm 105 verse 12. God described them that they were all prophets. He says, when they were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. So the scripture that says, touch not my anointed, is not referring to prophets as in the office, referring to everybody who was part of the nation of Israel. God said they were all prophets, so touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He referred to them as prophets. Come to Numbers 11. Let me add that one too, so that it should be established. Numbers 11, verse 27. This is when God took the spirit that was upon Moses and put the same spirit upon the 70 elders. And there were two elders who were in the camp, Eldad and Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were also prophesying. And Joshua was jealous, so he told Moses, 27. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put the Spirit upon them. Moses said, oh, I wish all of God's people, the whole nation, they were all prophets, and God will put the Spirit upon them. That is why he said, it shall come to pass after these things, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Why? Because my intention is for all of them to be prophets. Prophets in the sense that God's Spirit will come upon them, and they will be able to stand in a place where they can hear God and use His word to set the standard in their affairs. These three offices, nobody in the Bible occupies all these three except David. Right from Genesis coming, God, you know, when God revealed His intention, the people couldn't obey the voice of God. So the three offices were scattered in Israel. In fact, they were scattered. Some were kings, others were priests, others were prophets. God wanted all of them to be priests, prophets, and kings. But because of disobedience, when Moses came down from the mountain, they had entered into idol worship. Then many of them were killed. Then the tribe of Levi, they are the ones who separated themselves, and they distanced themselves from the idol worship. And so God said, okay, I've made Levi the priest. And I've given the kingdom to Judah. And for the prophet, they were scattered through. They could come from any tribe. In fact, some were even from outside Israel. So God had all these three offices scattered throughout the nation of Israel. But in David's time, that was when all the three came into one man, and that was God's idea. That's why I say, David is a man after my own heart. There's something David did for God which no man was able to do. So David was the first person to be a king, a priest, and a prophet. Come to 1 Chronicles 15:27. 1 Chronicles 15:27. You will see David as a priest. David as a priest. 1 Chronicles 15:27. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, and the singers, and Chenaniah, the music master, with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod. It was only the priest, in fact, the high priest, who wore the ephod. The ephod was a garment, and on the ephod, they had the breastplate, which contained 12 stones, representing the 12 tribes. And that was part of the dressing of the high priest. But David wore the linen ephod. Why? Because David stood in the office of a priest. That is why he could go to the priest Abimelech and tell him, give me the showbread. And he ate, and nothing happened to him, because he stood in the office of a priest. Now come to Acts 2:29 and see David the prophet. Acts 2:29. This is Peter talking. Okay, from 29 to 30. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that according to the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he will raise up the Christ to sit on the throne. Now, the point is that he said David was a prophet, and indeed, David prophesied many, many things, including the death of Jesus. My God, why are you forsaking me? It was David who said it. The one who has dipped his hand in the bowl, he has risen against me. It was the Psalm of David. The whole of Psalm 22 was about Jesus on the cross, including the very words that he said. Prophesy about the second coming of Christ, the judgment, Psalm 87. Psalm 24. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift. I mean, David was prophesying even into the second coming of Christ. He was a prophet. He stood in the office of a prophet. That is why David was able to take the Ark of the Covenant and pitch a tent on Mount Zion and put the Ark in a tent. Without the restriction, he could just go and stand face to face with the Ark. In the Old Testament, face to face with the Ark, conversing with God. Why? Because he stood in the three offices. And that was God's plan for the whole nation. But they couldn't enter into it. But David, a man after my own heart, he entered into these three offices. As a king, as a priest. That's why there is no king like David in Israel. To the extent that his throne, Jesus Christ came and sat on David's throne. The angel told Mary, said, and God will give to him the throne of his father David. David was a special person to God because he satisfied God's heart for a man who lived in these three offices. So now, after David, there was still the need for God to make this thing very official, very legal. So the last Adam had to come. And the last Adam was Jesus. It's Jesus. In fact, Bible calls him the last Adam because he is the only Adam who came and didn't fail. Excuse me to say, if he had failed, maybe there would have been a third Adam. But because he didn't fail, he was the last Adam. The same way God made Adam to be king, priest, and prophet, Jesus Christ came as a king, as a priest, and as a prophet. He was a prophet. He brought God's mind to the people. He was a priest. He died, and if a Bible calls him our great high priest, even now he's a high priest. Then he was a king. We call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So by reason of Jesus being able to fulfill all of God's requirement, the way was paved now for the church to finally occupy these three offices. So as I speak to you, the whole church, the whole body of believers are occupying these three offices. The problem is that we don't know. That's the problem. We are in a kingdom of ignorant kings, in a priesthood of ignorant priests, in a domain of ignorant prophets. We don't know we are kings. We are wearing crowns, but we don't know that we are kings. We are priests, we don't know. Come to Revelation 1:5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us kings and priests. 1 Peter 2:9 said, for you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, set apart, royal priesthood. Then Acts 2:17, he said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Paul said, covet the best gift, but especially that ye may prophesy. Paul said, ye may all prophesy. Which means God sees all his people as prophets. Now, it doesn't mean there are no prophets. What I mean is that the prophetic that we have now is the fivefold office, right? The office of a prophet. But the gift of prophecy has been given to all believers. All believers, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The language of the Holy Spirit, there are these three things: dreams, visions, and prophecy. He said, my sheep hear my voice. So my sheep have dreams, visions, and prophecy. I will show you how the believer prophesies in subsequent meetings. I will show you how you can literally prophesy every day. As a king, you decree, as a prophet, you prophesy, you speak God's mind for things to shift into alignment. That's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He didn't say to human beings, he said to all creation. In Mark 16. So as a priest, you stand before God and you intercede for people. You do your work in the tabernacle. As a king, you stand on behalf of God and you take territories for God. As a prophet, you proclaim the gospel to the creation. You speak God's mind. That is why you see now, like talking about the creation itself was subjected to vanity by God when Adam sinned. Now the creation is waiting for the sons of God, and the sons of God are people who are well versed in these three offices. He said the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? When the sons come, the sons will speak to the creation. They will preach to the creation. They will tell the river, you have been reconciled to Christ. Therefore, river, I have authority over you. They will speak to the gold and say, look, gold, you were created for me. Therefore, I have authority over you. A friend of mine is into herbs. And one day he called me and he said, anytime I'm going to this place to get herbs for my medicine, I feel some heaviness. It's like there's some dark, thick cloud and I can't enter. I said, look, when you go, lift your hand and say, my name is Prophet so and so, and God has given me the right to use you leaves for medicine, so avail yourself in Jesus' name. So he said he went and he stood there. He went to another person. He stood there, then he declared. Then the person remarked, as if a door has opened. He went and took the leaves. He's now doing a lot of herbal medicine. Lots of them for diabetes, many things. You see, these are areas that the devil has captured. For far too long, believers have been afraid to venture into these areas. We think it's the devil, and we think that the herbs were given by the devil. They are God-given. The leaves were given to man. Adam, it was given to Adam, and therefore we don't have to sit down for the devil to take control. God can also choose you, and you exercise dominion because you are a prophet. You will speak. Your Bible says all things because that to Christ. I was telling somebody last week, Saturday, that he has stopped, and I was telling him that look, we are coming to speak to gold. We are coming to speak to gold and take the gold, because the gold belongs to our Father. Bible says the gold in the land of Eden was good. God put the gold there. Now if you want gold, you have to sacrifice. He said that where he had gotten to, they were demanding human sacrifice, so he couldn't, so he stopped. I said, you don't need human sacrifice. The blood of Jesus was shed for you. So as a priest, prophet, and king, you can go to that territory and take it. There was a family that had gold in their house, and they contacted a malam to go and approve the gold for them and all that. And the malam was deceiving them. He put something in a pot and said, don't open it. If you open it, you'll be blind. So they called me and they said, help us to open the thing, because the malam says, if we open, we'll be blind. I said, this is nonsense. The gold is for God. You know something? I went to the house. I said, bring the pot. They brought the pot. It was in a bag. Very heavy. I took the thing from the pot like that. It was a bulging bag. From the bag. And I unraveled the thing. Then he had used some white and red thing to tie it, and some nomanoma bead. I think it's a fish or something, you know. So I just removed everything. Lo and behold, it was stone. It was stone. So he was deceiving them. You see, because we have left these things to the devil, and Satan has stolen the gold. But I'm telling you, the gold is coming back to the church, because the sons of God are going to manifest, and they are going to take charge of the creation. They are going to speak to the creation and say, "You look, gold, you were created to serve me. The first time God was mentioned was Genesis 2:11, and the first time the New Testament was Matthew 2:11. The first time God is seen in the Old Testament, Genesis 2:11. And the first time we see God in the New Testament was Matthew 2:11. And it was given to the gold, given to the king. They opened their treasury and gave him gifts, gold, myrrh, frankincense, which means that the gold is for the king. So when the sons of the king come on the scene, they will go for the gold. I'm telling you, we will go there and we will take the gold. Because you see, we have been made priests, kings, and prophets. I'm telling you, this series is going to be wonderful, because we will come to a point where you will see clearly that something has been given, put into your hand. You will see that why Christians died before their time. You will see why Christians endure sickness. You will see. I mean, because you see, what has been done must be activated. After this series, I mean, you will not even spend time thinking about witchcraft. That a witch will do you, or a juju man will do you, or somebody will do you. I remember some years ago, somebody called me on the phone. Then he said he's calling from Volta region, and somebody gave him my name and all that, and said he should do something, and he asked me to come and see. I said, look. No, but I said, if you can kill me, you yourself try. I said, if you can kill me, you yourself try. If the person has paid money for you to kill me, try and kill me. If you can, try. Then I blocked him. I just cut him. Then I blocked him. That's about 2012, about 4 years now. We are talking about dominion that God has given to the kings. Now we are entering into the era of kings. I'm telling you, God told me, he said hitherto my people have been ruled by judges, but now I'm preparing my Davids, and I'm going to release them. When David came on the scene, the whole kingdom was restored. People of Israel had some pride in them. In the time of the judges, you will see one strong man, he will rise up. Then all of Israel will be like midgets and dwarfs, following one strong man, Samson. He will defeat their enemies for them. Then Samson will go off the scene. Then that's all. But in the time of David, Bible said David could take 400 people who were non-entities and turn them to mighty men of valor. Why? Because David was a priest, a king, and a prophet. So God is saying that he's releasing his kings in this end time. We are going to see people who are going to be consecrated priests and dominating kings. They are priests before God, but they are kings before the devil. They don't beg the devil. They speak with authority. And when they decree, you see, when they decree, it's established. Because the whole kingdom is backing them. I'm telling you, God is releasing an ambassadorial anointing on people. When we say you are an ambassador of Christ, it means that you have the full backing of heaven. When you speak, heaven must endorse. Like Elijah, who came and said, he said, it will not rain for 3.5 years except according to my word. And they could just decree things and God will just back them. They didn't work miracles by casting out demons. They just declared and it worked. Go and dip yourself in Jonah 7 times and you'll be healed. And he was healed. That's the realm that God is taking us into. Where God follows our words, we decree and the thing is established. I'm telling you, what will bring fear in the church is coming. Something is going to happen that will strike fear in the church. Yeah, it will bring fear, like it brought fear in the days of Ananias and Sapphira. It will bring fear. God is going to raise voices. You see, when we talk about people like Idahosa, when we say Idahosa was a prophet, his prophetic was not the prophet that we know, but he was a prophet in the sense that he could declare that in 2 weeks' time, this person will die, and he will die. 2 weeks time, they will come with a mandate from heaven, authority of heaven backing them, and when they speak, you cannot resist the words that they speak. God, they speak with power and authority, and they will exercise dominion. I'm telling you, we are going to exercise dominion over force of nature, over creation. I'm telling you, what Jesus Christ said in Mark 16, we are going to see. They will pick up serpent. It shall not harm them. If they drink anything, it will not be hurt. You are going to see those things. But God wants us to know our position. That's why I've taken time to let you know how the devil was first appointed and he failed God. And Adam also came, he failed God. Jesus Christ came and he passed. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. John 17:4. Why the earth? He said, on the earth. He said, those who believe in me, the works that I do, shall they do also. And greater works. We are going to enter into greater works. The greater works dimension, we enter into greater works. I'm telling you, let me begin to pray. Just pray in the spirit. Go Abraham, de Abraham dosi. Ipa lolo si pahataya. Go bati mande si hande. Iporolo si kahata. Go baliande rebose. Imatayande bokosukaha. Koliande rebokosiha. Remati yandose. Sibrahando krobohosi. Ripande yande kasaha. Koriande rebokosim. Mande protolohosiha. Romati brahandikis. Komahatayalasa. Kinolobokosiha. Kinolobokositaha. Lepolokasiniandaha. Otayande prokotohasam. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give us enlightenment, O God. Grant us revelation knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see what you have made us, O God. That we may be transformed into that same image. That we may act in that same authority. In the name of Jesus. For you have made us priests, kings, and prophets. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are praying again. We are asking God, Ephesians 1, verse 15 going, that the Lord of our Father Jesus Christ will come, that we may be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation or understanding in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we may know. We are asking God, grant that we may be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know, help us to know these things. And as we get revelation, it leads to transformation and it leads to possession. Help us to know and walk in these things. Let's begin to pray. Go brahadi yanderesa. Mi bara yandere kosi. Kama yandara badosi. Go pahande brotosi. Mandere bekosi kahata. Sibrahanda bahata. Go bahata yalakata. Losi talabahadosi. Impataya de katahaga. Li pandoro bokosi katakata. Lambari yande kotokoto. Ipanle brodosiha. Shilolo kotobaha. Li matayando kosihanga. Open our eyes, O God. Give us revelation knowledge, O God. In the name of Jesus. That will be transformed, O God. In the name of Jesus, that it will lead to possession. In Jesus' name. Imatayando siha. Vitolo pahataya. Shika pulia taha. Ika lusa hatika. Ripa layandoro siha. In the name of Jesus, we are praying this last prayer for Ghana, as we always do. We are decreeing and declaring, anybody who devise any evil intention for this election, anybody who devise any evil plan to bring bloodshed and violence, to bring chaos and confusion, we are decreeing that as soon as they devise the plan, they should be taken off the scene. We are decreeing, and these words are going to hang in the atmosphere from the length and the breadth, the four corners of this nation, that anybody who rises up with an evil intention to cause bloodshed, to cause war, to bring war and to bring instability in this election, and to use the gun or the sword, they will die by the sword and the gun. That thought, the moment they have bought that thought itself, Bible says sin will destroy the sinner. That thought itself will destroy them. We will not allow anybody to stand before the purpose of God for this country. Ghana is on the verge of a breakthrough, and we can't afford to sit down as a church and watch evil men wreck the destiny of this nation in their hearts. In the name of Jesus, we are decreeing and declaring, anybody who devises evil against this nation, let the sword of the Lord fall on them. In the name of Jesus, let the angels of God chase them out. In Jesus' name, let their place not be found in this nation. In the name of Jesus, let them be banished from the land of the living. In Jesus' name. Because Ghana must live. Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. Ghana will fulfill purpose. The plan and purpose of God for this nation will stand. Nobody can change what God has said. What God has destined for this nation must stand. In the name of Jesus, anybody who rises up to change, to tamper with heaven's decree, let heaven react in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We give you praise. Grant us revelation knowledge. Fill our hearts with understanding. Open the eyes of our hearts. Let us know our position, where you have placed us. And cause us, O God, to be transformed, to walk in the consciousness, in the knowledge of this truth. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah.